Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Job, the third chapter. Job chapter 3, just before the book of Psalms. Page 571 in your Scofield Bible. And beginning with verse 19, we'll read responsively through verse 26. Job chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The 25th and 26th verses are the text verses for this morning's message. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and in whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Let's pray. And Father, Thou art here with us. We know You are. You promised to be in the presence of those where two or three are gathered in Thy name. And now there's this great crowd, thousands of people. Thank You for the ministry of this church. Thank You for our preacher. Thank You for the ongoing success of the ministry. We pray today, though, that Thou wouldst do that which You have ordained to do today. Thank You for Your Word. We pray that You'd bless it to our hearing and to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, what must be endured can be endured. Before I speak, I'd like to ask you, are you comfortable? Is anybody too warm? Would you raise your hand? All right. Brother Andy, maybe just 1 degree notch down, if you would. Cooler, please. Is anybody too cool? Okay, hold it, Randy. We'd like to have it a little warmer and cooler in this section right here, a little warmer in this section right here, about the middle third of this section right here, if you don't mind. But, okay, I won't make you any colder if you listen to me. If you listen to me, I'm going to put it on 32, 32, and 4. So you're going to have to listen to me. We have signals back between Randy and I. All I got to do is just give a little signal like that, like a third base coach, and he'll do what I say. So I want you to listen. What must be endured can be endured. My text, you'll not turn to it again, but I'll simply read my text. Job says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Our Heavenly Father, it's feeding time. Give us, I pray, Your help as we preach and as we listen. Amen. And I'm going to say some things this morning that a lot of people in this room need to hear. This is perhaps the greatest truth of the Christian life. I would not be at all surprised, but that what I'm going to say this morning is the greatest truth. Now, I'm talking about the Christian life. I'm not talking about salvation now, but the Christian life. You thought it could be avoided. This cloud that was coming toward you. You thought that something would happen and hoped against hope it would never arrive. Perhaps it will go around. Perhaps it will dissolve before it gets here. You saw it coming. And really, I guess you knew it was going to get there. But somehow you hoped a little bit that it could be stopped. But here it is. It's here. The moment of truth has arisen. Suddenly it comes to you. It's going to happen. You're thinking about something now in your life, in the past. He left you. You hoped against hope that he would return. Somehow you could not face the reality he was gone to stay. Certainly he'll wise up sooner or later and leave her and come back to you. And you have hope that he will. But then one day, suddenly, it hits you. It's over. He's not coming back. He's gone. I'll have to spend the rest of my life without him. You thought something would happen, and one that you love would live. Oh, the doctor said it was malignant. Or the doctor said he could not live, but you sort of figured out something was going to happen. You went to a special doctor you'd heard about, not a medical doctor, not an MD. You went to him because you thought maybe that he could help. Maybe you even went across the border to another doctor who practiced medicine not legal in the United States. And you came to the preacher and he anointed your loved one with oil, and you tried everything you could, and though in your heart you were afraid that he was going to leave you and his life be taken, yet you held on to that one little flicker of hope. And then one day it hit you. He's going to die. He's going to die. Surely she won't marry him. We had hopes for our daughter, you say, to marry a Christian young man. Surely she's not going to marry that fellow who's not a Christian and whose standards do not measure up to the standards that we've taught our daughter. And you hoped against hope it wouldn't happen. You thought something would happen. You prayed. You asked the preacher to pray. But then one day it dawned on you, it's going to happen. She's going to marry the guy. All of a sudden it dawned on you. You saw a battle coming. You saw the enemy approaching. And you thought something would stop the enemy. Surely it'll not happen. Surely that comes to attack me will not arrive. But then one day it dawned on you, it's going to come. It's here. That's what Job said. Job said, I was afraid that someday this would happen. He said, that which I was afraid of is come unto me. So, what was Job saying? Job was saying, I was always afraid I'd lose my wealth. I dreaded it. I had much wealth. And I was always afraid I might lose it. And now Job said, it's gone. I mean, it's here. That which I feared is come unto me. Job said, I've always been afraid I'd lose my health. Every time I'd have a checkup, I thought perhaps the doctor would find something bad wrong with me. And somehow, it always caused me to fear. I thought I'd lose my health. Now he said, that which I greatly feared is come unto me, and that I was afraid of is come unto me. Job said, I always was afraid something would happen to my children. I love them so much. I was afraid that somehow something would happen to one or more of my children. And now, all of a sudden, they've all been taken by death. And somehow, I was always afraid my wife would not be encouraging to me, that she'd turn on me. And now she's done it. And somehow, I always felt I might be left friendless. And now I am left friendless. And there Job sits in the ash heap of the city dump. His wife, the loyalty of his wife is gone. All 10 children are dead and buried. His health is gone. Has an awful disease of elephantiasis, a form of leprosy that caused the entire body to run with corruption from the sores all over his body. And there Job sits without friends. He who was famous is now infamous. He who was rich is now in poverty. He who was the picture of health is now the picture of disease. He who had it all now has nothing. He who had people who came by the thousands to honor him because he was the most famous man in his whole area, now little children come and make fun of him and laugh at him and mock him as he sits there in the city dove. And Job said, I was always afraid this would happen. And that which is afraid, I was afraid of, is come upon me. Now, let me tell you a few things about this time in life. Hey, some of you there now. It's here. I mean, he's not going to come back. I mean, she's not going to come back. I counsel with you folks. There are 50 of you right now that, whose names I could call if you give me a few minutes to think. I could call 50 names right now of men and women in this room whose spouses are gone. And you've hoped and you've hoped and you've prayed and you've prayed. But all of a sudden you've come to the realization that she's not coming back. He's not coming back. My health is not coming back. My daughter's going to marry that fellow I didn't want her to marry. Or my son is going to marry that person I didn't want to marry. Or my child is going to get a divorce. Or it's here, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's here. Let me tell you a few things about this time in life. Now, please listen to me as if it were life or death. Number one, what must be endured can be endured. You can take it. You can take it. You know the worst part about it is the fearing of it. When it's here, it's not as hard as the fearing. But I want to say it again. You can take it. If all I did for you was stand up here for 30 minutes every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and if all I did was stand up here and say in different phrases, you can take it, you can take it, you can endure it, you can make it, you can do it. If all I did was that, it'd be worth your coming to church to hear somebody say it. I'm saying this morning, you can take it. Whatever it is, you can take it. Oh, let me read for you that scripture that I've breathed and lived on for 43 years. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Well, praise God, Elijah had the same temptation I had. Well, praise God, Billy Sunday had the same temptation I had. Well, blessed be God, Dwight L. Moody had the same temptation I have, and the same testings I have, and the same burdens I have. Well, praise God, the Apostle Paul had the same burdens I have. I'm simply saying, I love it, I love it, I love it. There hath no testing or temptation or trial taken you, but such is as common to everybody. And then I love it as it says, but God is faithful. Listen, there's a sermon in every line here. God is faithful. He'll always arrive. He'll always get you on time. He'll always do what He said He'd do. God is faithful. What a verse. There's no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful. Now, here is the jewel of the verse. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? Did you hear me? God will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. What does it say? You can take it. The load limit exceeds the load. The load limit exceeds the load. That which you suffer today, you can take it. Oh, you say, I'm falling apart. Well, pull back together. Oh, I've gone as far as I can go. No, you haven't. Keep on going. But I just don't see how I can face tomorrow. Well, just go on to tomorrow and see what happens when you get there. Now, you listen to me. Nobody in this room today has a burden greater than God will give you strength to bear. But you say, preacher, you don't know what my burden is. I may not know, but He knows, and He's the one who wrote the book. There hath no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. What He's saying is, what must be endured can be endured. Second thing, what else to do when you get there? I mean, it's here. It's here. Your daughter's pregnant. You feared someday. You knew she was a bit rebellious.
You knew sometimes she got in the wrong crowd. You saw her as she was marching toward heartbreak. And you thought somehow, maybe she'll turn around. Every time you came to church, you thought, you hoped and prayed she'd walk the aisle. And you saw other young people walk the aisle, and you hoped that someday it'd be your daughter who'd walk the aisle. But the truth is, she's pregnant. I mean, it's here. He's gone. He's not coming back. She's pursuing for divorce. She's not going to come back. Your daughter's going to marry the fella. She's not going to change her mind. It is cancer. That which I feared is come upon me. It is cancer. I said, number one, that what must be endured can be endured. I say, number two, I mentioned a while ago, the worst part is over. Now listen to me. I'm no novice at this. I'm no rookie at this. I'm no kid preacher that found a sermon somewhere in Spurgeon's book and want to preach it. I'm no young preacher that hasn't faced life yet and says to you, I bet you can make it. I'm not saying I bet you can make it. I'm saying you can make it. I'm also saying by experience that the worst is over when you get to the battle. I mean, now you know. Now you can fight. Now you know who the enemy really is. Now you can measure the weight of the burden. The worst is over. Hey, let me encourage you this morning. The worst is over when the battle comes. Ask any soldier. Ask those fellows over there in Saudi Arabia today. I'll guarantee you 99% of those fellows would like to fight this afternoon. When the battle starts, the worst is over. So I'm saying this morning, you're there. There's no way out of it. You got to face it. It's reality. Your son is going to marry the Eau Claire girl. You can't do anything about it. You're heartbroken. You're going to have Bob Eau Claire as an in-law. I'd rather have AIDS. Just want to find out if you're still out there. But, I mean, it's here. There's nothing you can do about it. Number three, hear me. The burden will make you stronger. The burden will make you stronger. Of all the statements I've made to Christian people in the 31 years I've been pastor here and the 43 years I've been preaching, perhaps the most important statement I've made to Christian people is this. God doesn't give you strength for the burden. God gives you strength by the burden. Illustration. A teenage boy decides he wants a set of weights for Christmas. He sits in the audience, has looked at me as I preach for all these years, and has dreamed that somehow he could have a physique like this. He comes to me and says, how did you get that physique? By lifting weights. Quarter pound weights. With cheese in them. I mean, I can bench press a quarter pounder. He says to his mom and dad, would you give me for Christmas a set of weights? And his mom and dad decide to go ahead and do it. And so, he looks at those weights. And he says, dear God, give me strength to lift that. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of the weight is to make you strong. And so, he reaches down and he takes that. Now, he's stronger. See, it's the lifting of the weight. Look how strong I am now. It's the lifting of the weight that made him stronger. So you don't get strength for your burden. You get strength from your burden. God comes along and God says, I want to use you. I want to make you strong. And you say, God, how? And God says, I got a burden for you to bear. The book back yonder that Carol Fry is going to sell tonight wouldn't be back yonder if she hadn't had a burden. God says, I want to make you stronger. So what does God do? God gives you a weight to bear. And you look at it, and you say, I don't believe I can bear it. Dear God, I can't face this. It's more than I can bear. But let me say it, it is not more than you can bear. Now, look, listen carefully to this. The weight you're going to have to bear 6 months from now is more than you can bear. And you can't bear the one 6 months from now unless you bear the one now. So I reached down. God said to me as a kid preacher, you got a problem. I'll never forget the time the first person in my church turned on me. It's the last two, by the way. But that's one of the funniest things I ever said. You're not with it this morning. Pardon me, I'm losing my weight. Would God I was losing my weight. But I just lost some more hair. That's where I'm losing my weight. But I reached down and as a kid preacher, I'm talking about 22 years old. And I said, God, I can't do it. God said, I'm going to use you someday. I got to make you strong. I reached down. I picked up that little weight when I had my first battle. And I tried, 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 and I lifted it. Now I'm stronger. How did I get stronger? By lifting the burden. You say, Brother House, I want God to give me strength for the burden before I pick it up. He won't do that. God never does that. God does not give you strength for your burdens. God gives you strength by your burden. And then one day, I looked down and I saw a heavier weight. God gave me a heavier burden. My convention, the schools had become liberal. I could not support them. The mission program had become liberal. I could not support it. They said to me, you support our program or you can't be in our convention. This is the convention I've been in all my life. I'd never held membership in a church that did not belong to that Baptist convention. And I said, I can no longer support the schools. I can no longer support the program. And they said, okay, if you don't, you cannot be one of us. But wait a minute. How about my home church? The deacon chairman of my home church called me and said, you can't, I'll see to it you won't speak on the platform anymore at your home church. But wait a minute, I was ordained there. I was licensed there. Mrs. House and I, we got married there. And my college president called me, who had told me a few years before, I was one of the two outstanding students in the 100-year history of that college. And then all of a sudden he called me and said, if you go through with this, son, you'll not be able to be on the platform of your alma mater anymore. I'd spoken up there numbers of times on the platform of my alma mater, and they were proud of me. And all of a sudden I looked at that weight, and I said, I don't think I can pick it up. I reached down to pick it up, and I couldn't do it. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And I was stronger because of that burden. And then the Lord said to me one day, I want to give you the biggest burden of all. I want you to go up north. I said, no way, Jose. I'm no way, God. I said, no way. I said, He said, why? I said, there are Yankees up there. I mean, they don't speak English. And they don't know the English language, such as Tosac and other words of culture and refinement. And the Lord said, I want you to go up north. I looked down and I said, I don't think I can. He said, but I want you to pick up the burden. I reached down. I picked it up. I don't see how I can lift this burden. But I did. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. Now I'm stronger. What's God doing? God's getting ready to build a great church up north. What's God doing? God's getting ready to influence the whole nation by a church. But God can't have a weak preacher doing it. God's got to have somebody toughened up. There's some battles up there that you're going to have to fight one of these days, said God. And you can't fight the little battles if you don't, big battles, you don't fight the little battles. I got to make you stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, the burden you've got in life, if you want to, you can crumble under that burden and quit. But bless God, if you want to, you can lift that burden and get stronger for the battle that's coming later. I looked down and I saw another weight. God said, I want you to pull that church out of the American Baptist Convention. I said, Lord, I just got through pulling one out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I didn't know recently that you can get put out of the Independent Baptist Convention. But I said, God, I don't want to go through this. We'll have a church split. God said, I want you to do it. I said, I can't do it. It's too big a load for me. I reached down, and I tried. I couldn't lift it. I reached down, and I tried again. And I failed. I reached down, and I tried again. Ouch. And I failed. I reached down, and I tried again. And I tried. And I tried again. And I kept trying. I've got to lift it. I've got to lift it. And I did. Every time I lifted a stronger weight, I had more strength. It was the burden that made me stronger. And that's what God is doing. God is good to you when God allows you to have burdens. God is good to you when the heartaches come. God's got something for you to do. And God knows you've got to be strong to do it. And God gives you a set of weights. And you gripe about them. These were the houses. It's not easy. It's not easy for that teenage boy to lift all those weights in the basement either. But he does. And then, on and on. God was getting ready to build a great church here. God was getting ready to lead a great college. And God is still making me stronger by giving me more weights. I looked down from Bay City, Michigan. And God said, I got another weight for you. You got a daughter who has a disease that'll keep her miserable the rest of her life. And maybe even shorten her life. And I said, I can't pick it up. I reached down.
And I tried.
And I failed.
And I tried again.
And I failed.
And I tried again.
And I tried. And I tried. And I tried to lift that burden. And I did. And now I'm stronger for it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've griped enough. I said you've griped enough. You've whined enough. You've pitied yourself enough. You asked God to make you strong. You thought God would do it with vitamins. You asked God to make you strong. You thought that God would do it with banana pudding. It won't make you strong. It'll make you happy. You don't want to care if you're strong or not. But it won't make you strong. I know what I'm talking about. When I say banana pudding, it'll make you so happy. You won't care whether you're strong or not. Years ago, I preached on a sermon, and I said, if you're going to be a great athlete, for example, you're going to have to learn how to say no to some food. The pecan pie says, eat me. Eat me. Eat me. And you got to say to the pecan pie, if you want to be a champion, no, I can't. I want to be a champion. I want to be a champion. I can't eat you. Lemon meringue pie says, eat me. Eat me. Eat me. No, I can't eat you. I want to be a champion. Chocolate pie says, eat me. Eat me. Eat me. I can't. I want to be a champion. Dr. Billings was here then. He said, the pie came to me. Chocolate pie said, eat me. Eat me. Dr. Billings said, I said, okay, I want to be champion pie eater. But the honest truth is, if you want to be a champion for God, you've got to have some weights to lift. You've got to have some burdens to bear. I mean, you've got to go through the trial. I mean, if you're going to go into Promised Land, you've got to go through the wilderness. If you're going to make it to Canaan, you've got to go across the Red Sea. If you're going to make it to the land of promise, and you're going to make it to the land of Canaan, you've got to face the enemy. I mean, between you and the land of Canaan, you've got the Jebusites and the Cherethites and the Hittites and the Hivites. You've got some battle stuff to cross. You've got some lonely nights. You've got some big weights to lift. But I guarantee you one thing, brother, if you can't lift the little weight, some of you college students, if you can't lift the little weight you've got now in college, you'll never succeed when the big weights come. I promise you this. If I had left the Grange Hall Baptist Church outside of Marshall, Texas, when that first battle came, I would never have been strong enough to face what I'm going through right now. Now you listen to me. God lets you, allows you, and chooses you to have burdens. Why? So you can get stronger and stronger and stronger. And stronger, and stronger, and stronger. That's what makes you strong. The time's come. Your burden's here. He's not going to come home. He's not going to live. She's not going to come back. I said three things so far. What must be endured can be endured. I said number two, the worst part's over. I said number three, the burden will make you strong. I don't know who the strongest Christian is in this room today. I don't know who he or she is, but I guarantee you this. Whoever she is or he is, the strongest Christian in this room today is the one who's lifted the most weights. And the strongest man in this room today is the man who's lifted the most weights. And the strongest Christian in this room today is the one who's had the most burdens. Number four, quickly. The strength will come as you need it. As I've looked forward to a battle, I've said I can't take it. I don't have strength to take it. As you've looked forward to your heartaches, I can't take that. Have you ever said this? I couldn't take what she's going through. Oh, yes, you could. You could not take it on the strength that God has given you today because God's given you strength today for the burdens you bear today. But if you had to bear the burden that she's borne, God would give you strength for that burden rather than strength for the burden you have to bear now. I'm saying I couldn't on today's strength, but I can on tomorrow's strength. And so, you say, I, looking at it, I can't face it. Listen, I've been up on top of it. Tomorrow will be, God will give you sufficient strength for the battles you face tomorrow. I didn't need strength 10 years ago to say goodbye to my mother. And by the way, that's the most perfect illustration. You've heard me use it since her death 6 years ago in September. My mother was afraid to die. My mother didn't like to talk about death. I mean, death does not really bother me a great deal. Well, if I die, it does. But if you, it doesn't bother me a great deal. But death is not the thing I fear the most. I don't want to die today. I mean, I want to go to heaven, but not on the next load. But I'm not afraid to die. But my mother was. But I wish you could have seen her die. Mother didn't need dying strength sitting over here at 122. 167th Street in Calumet City. Mother didn't need dying strength then. But when she came time to face her last hours, she faced it with all the grace and charm that a woman could have. And she died with all the loveliness and beauty with which she lived. Why? Because God gives you strength for the burden you're bearing now, and that burden gives you more strength, and you're here, the time has come. You say, preacher, I don't think I can face it. Well, when it gets there, you can face it. I know what I'm talking about. This is no theory class. You listen to the voice of experience. I've walked on platforms around America. I didn't want to walk up on the platform, but I did. I face things I never thought any human being would ever face. But bless God, I'm facing them. And I aim to keep on facing them. Ms. Howe's book, she just written, I was reading the other day, that last line or two in it about the life in the fishbowl. That little last part says, when a fish dies, it goes to the top and then it's flushed down the commode. And then she said, I haven't been flushed yet. I don't intend to be flushed. Neither do I. Neither do I. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. So you're there. That which you greatly feared, Job said, is come upon me. That book we mentioned a while ago, Miss Fry wrote. Somehow we didn't think Keith was going to die. Somehow we thought he was going to live. And that's what it ought to be. And all of a sudden the day came. He's going to die. He's going to die. And if you're there this morning, or if you're on your way there, when it comes, hear me now, when it comes, what must be endured can be endured. Now, you may not endure it, but you could. You may go to pieces, put a gun to your head, jump into the Chicago River, crack up. If you want to, you can. But what must be endured can be endured. There's no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able? Number two, the worst is over when you get to the battle. Number three, God is making you stronger with the weight. And number four, you will not get tomorrow's strength today. You will get tomorrow's strength tomorrow. So go to the mirror this afternoon. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself and say to yourself, self, you're facing a battle. It's here. A heartache, a burden, a sorrow. It's here. One of our deacons told me the other day, most amazing heartbreak, heartache you can imagine, he's enduring right now. Look in the mirror and say, it's here. And I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Because what must be endured can be endured. Because the worst is over. Because the very burden I have is to make me stronger. And because God will give me strength according to the need. Our Heavenly Father, I probably have never said anything in a sermon more important than what I've said this morning.